Hi, this is Arthur Godfrey in New York. There is another sadness in the nation this day, and it comes not with dramatic suddenness, not with a sense of violent change in the offing, nor of a vital force suddenly taken from us. Rather, it's the sadness we feel when a brave and dedicated figure succumbs to the merciless element of time. Dwight Eisenhower struggled with all his spirit, supported by the very best medical science, encouraged by all who had served with him in the nation's cause. And it was not enough. For the past several days, I've been listening, as you have, to the hospital bulletins, the cold technical language of medicine, impersonal, impartial, speaking of the heart as human tissue, each bulletin phrased so as to condition all who heard it for the inevitable. We drew comfort from the knowledge that our honored soldier and president was comfortable, not in pain, and that his family was close at hand. And we were told that President Eisenhower was in command of all of his senses and his wits about him. I was privileged to be acquainted with President Eisenhower. As I recall, he was a major in the Army when we first met in Washington many, many years ago. And he was one of those of whom they spoke at the War Department as a promising young officer with the natural gift of command. The fortunes of war and the urgency of the post-war period tended to limit our acquaintance until the early 50s, which brought some happy moments when we played golf together and savored the outdoors in France and in this country, especially in the West, which we both love so much. A few jokes shared, our common concern for the destiny of this land in conversation and so forth. At the moment, I'm thinking how we might put the passing of President Eisenhower into a proper perspective for our young people. In these uneasy times, our nation is without heroes of his stature. It's a time for questioning and for doubt, for being wary of uniformed glory, for being uneasy in the presence of old-fashioned patriotism with flags and bugles and marching feet. But perhaps we'll find, with the passage of time, that General Ike was the last hero of his kind. The warfare he knew has become as obsolete as a cavalry charge. But I like to think the spirit of the nation he led in war is not obsolete, however, and that underneath the restless churnings and the rising tempers of politics, there is still a common cause to build a better world. I like to think that our angry young people can look at balding, paunchy oldsters and remember that they were once warriors in the cause of freedom. It may seem irrelevant, but were it not for the Dwight Eisenhowers of the world, there wouldn't be an acre of free land left to us. I sense a terrible irony when the Eisenhower generation draws the wrath of so many young folk. No one should expect them to be grateful, of course. It was our survival we were fighting for, as well as our children who have now grown to voting age. And we shouldn't fault these young people for wanting to push the clock ahead with the strength of their eager hands. It was just this kind of strength that General Eisenhower used so effectively, first in North Africa and then across all of Europe. We are still too close to the Eisenhower years in the White House to render an objective decision on his administration. We need the gulf of years for a true appraisal. Any forces set in motion then have yet to run their course, but none can doubt that the enormous prestige of Eisenhower was an extraordinary factor in holding our world together. I remember someone saying of his election to the presidency that it was a time when America needed a good cop within easy calling distance. The neighborhood was in trouble. The presence of a good cop on the corner made the ruthless and the criminal think twice. A kind providence gave us such a man. I suppose it is true that President Eisenhower was a waning influence in his later years. Subsequent presidents and politicians of all persuasions, of course, made dutiful calls, presumably for sage advice. They seemed more like ancestral pilgrimages to many. We forget, I think, that in honoring our leaders of another day, we are honoring history itself and showing respect for events as well as men. And from history, we gain knowledge and even perhaps a bit of wisdom from that knowledge, so that we need not repeat our mistakes and do not necessarily follow a course to another dark age. His comrades will mourn him and miss him. We who are of his time will have an eternal respect for his dedication and leadership. Our young people will study him as part of history and ask the questions that should be asked. And one answer I'm certain will come to them is this: Dwight Eisenhower was a product of America, and all its traditions, its contradictions, its failures, its victories, and its yearnings. He has taken his place now among our heroes, and was celebrated in his time with the greatest honor we can confer upon a man, the presidency of the United States. And I have taken these few minutes from our usual program because my thoughts are so much with the sad event of the day. Now I suggest we all press on with our usual chores, get our work done, keep our spirits up, lend a helping hand where we can.
We now join the Arthur Godfrey program, already in progress.
You should see the things they're auctioning off. Such prizes as a swim in the White House swimming pool.
What a great auction.
Playing 18 holes of golf with Johnny Unitas. Lunch with Vice President Agnew. And how about this, to be auctioned off to the highest bidder, a hernia operation?
You're kidding.
No. Also a divorce. All this for the Cancer Society in Baltimore.
Oh, that's unique.
Dr. Martin wants to know if I'll contribute. He wants to know would I dedicate a song to the highest bidder. Maybe you'd rather have a banjo solo.
That's what I think.
How about a banjo duet? Joe and I, or a brace of banjos.
There you go.
Second prize.
You bet.
A brace of banjos.
Yeah. That's a pretty good idea, though, isn't it?
That's a wild one.
Here's another good idea. Coffee Rich. Haven't tried this? Please do. It's a coffee creamer that's really something. It's a non-dairy liquid creamer that really smooths out the flavor of a cup of coffee. I don't know about you, but I despise those powder things. This stuff is good. Coffee Rich. It's a liquid. In fact, it tastes so good that it's become the largest selling product of its kind in America, and it's great even on cereals or fruits. And it makes excellent cream soups and sauces, too. Coffee Rich. Comes frozen. It'll stay fresh and sweet up to 3 weeks in your refrigerator. Look for Coffee Rich in pints and quarts in a blue and white carton. Coffee Rich in the frozen food section. In the frozen food. It's very good, really. So there's a scratchety old man sitting on a park bench watching some boys play, and he says to one of them, "How old are you, sonny?" Kid says, "I'm six." "Six," he says. "Why, you're not even as tall as my cane." And the kid says, "Well, how old's your cane?" It's ridiculous. Richard.
Yes.
How old are you?
As tall as your cane.
Sing something for us, will you?
I'm pretty sorry. I haven't done this one in a long, long time. It's a Buffy St. Marie thing called "Till It's Time for You to Go."
Beautiful.
I'm not a dream, I'm not an angel, I'm a man. You're not a queen, you're a woman, take my hand. We'll make a space in the lives that we plan, and here we'll stay till it's time for you to go. Yes, we're different, worlds apart, we're not the same. We laughed and played at the start, like in a game. You could have stayed outside my heart if you came. Here you'll stay till it's time for you to go. Love of mine had no beginning, it has no end. I was an oak, now I'm a willow, now I can bend. And though I'll never in my life see you again, still I'll stay till it's time for you to go. Yes, I'll stay until it's time for you to go.
That is very pretty.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, Richard.
And you're very pretty, too, my dear. And you want to stay that way? Get some Pond's Dry Skin Cream and keep your skin looking young. Oh, it's amazing what you can do with this. You get a 3-minute youth treatment every night. You do it to yourself, see? Pond's Dry Skin Cream. Every night you smooth the cream over your face and neck and work it well into the skin and leave it alone. Leave it there. It disappears. The old man won't know you've got it on. This treatment helps the special oil concentrate compensate for any deficiency you may have in natural skin oil, which is called sebum. Well, we all run out of sebum sooner or later. And as the skin grows older, this natural oil decreases and the skin begins to dry out and sag and peg and hang down. Oh, it's awful. Right down around your ankles. And Pond's Dry Skin Cream has a unique oil and moisture formula that alleviates dry skin in a couple of ways. What was that? Somebody's skin falling around his ankle? It replenishes and plumps up the dried out skin cells. See? And compensates for a deficiency in the sebum. So look closely. Do you have a deficiency in your sebum? Well, you go get a jar of this stuff. I use it all the time on my hands and on my poor dried up face. It contains a special oil concentrate and it does a good job and it disappears into your skin. You know, if you're lucky, you'll live a long time, but you don't want to look it. So use a lot of Pond's Dry Skin Cream and you won't look it.
Yeah, speaking of look, I was kind of shocked, but then that's what happens with time. When I saw President Nixon with ex-President Truman, he sure got old, didn't he, Mr. Truman?
Well, heck, he's 80-something.
Yeah, but I still remember him, you know, taking those brisk, fast walks and, you know.
He still takes a walk. He ain't so brisk about it.
No. I was just surprised. I know these things happen, and I know he's well up there in years, but when you don't see him, like, he hardly calls me anymore, so I don't see him. You know, we just drift apart now that he's not making the scene
he's not
anymore.
Not playing piano for you anymore.
I saw President Nixon play for him the other day.
Yeah. Do they have mutes for pianos? I got a kick out of his piano playing. He's no Cy Mann, but then, you know.
Who else is?
Right.
Listen, that reminds me. Did you ever hear of a performer named Schnabel? Schnabel, I beg your pardon. Schnabel. I didn't know from a Schnabel. That's a Schnabel. What is it, a Schnabel? Wait a minute. I've got a story about him here.
Is it Arthur Schnabel?
Huh?
Arthur Schnabel.
No, that's Godfrey. How long have you been on this show? Does he look like a Schnabel to you?
Father Schnabel Godfrey.
Well, anyway, This guy. Yeah, Arthur Schnabel, that's who it was. He took reviews to heart, particularly bad reviews. And he, after a concert in Boston one time, he read in the Boston Globe the next day, or that night he read it, one of the leading critics had panned him for his rendition of Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata, see? And Schnabel read the review, and he, about 2 o'clock in the morning, and he's very hurt, and he phoned the critic and woke him up. He says, "Who are you to say that Schnabel played the Moonlight Sonata poorly? I say he was superb." And the critic says, "Who is this?" He said, "This is Beethoven." And all that. Hey, I've got something for you. You who like rice pudding, don't have time to make it. Bounty puddings, real cooked puddings in a can to give the convenience of instant puddings plus the old-fashioned good taste of homemade desserts with natural ingredients. I know, the first thing you'd think about is canned rice pudding. What's that? That's what I thought. But I tried it, and by golly, it was good. I ate the whole doggone thing, the whole can. They make 5 flavors: Dutch chocolate, rice with cinnamon, milk chocolate, lemon, and French vanilla.
Mm. Very good.
You've tried it too,
yes,
have you?
Yes, I have. I think it's delicious.
Bounty puddings. They're made by Campbell, you know, people who make Campbell's soup. And with the same ingredients that you would use yourself if you made cooked pudding from scratch. You go out and buy a bunch of scratch and make a pudding? Whole fresh eggs, fresh milk, sugar, never an artificial sweetener, no. And then for flavor, actual Dutch cocoa, natural lemon juice, and pure vanilla extract, see? They get a little more for this, but it's quality, and you're willing to pay that, aren't you? A few pennies extra for real quality. Rice pudding, elegant desserts. Will you try them? Remember the name Bounty? Bounty. That's the... That belongs to the Campbell Soup outfit.
Arthur, did your peeper frogs come back this spring?
Yeah, since he's been using ponds, it's great now.
You had problems with your peepers last year, so we're hoping you get them back this year.
You gave them some
You gave me some peepers, yeah. And I put them in the pond, and they stayed right there. I went back and saw them 2 or 3 weeks later. They were still there. What happened during the winter, I don't know. I didn't hear them yet this spring.
Oh,
it's been too cold. The dang place has been frozen. But maybe now, huh? I don't know. I haven't been home.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love to hear frogs peeping in the spring. When the frogs are frogging. And oh, it's wonderful. You ever watch frogs frogging?
Yeah.
Frogging.
Frugging. No, not frugging. Frogging.
No, when a frog dances, it's called frugging.
A frog, he would a frugging go. He in a hole, hi, hi, ho.
Oh,
maybe you can sound like a frog, you guys. Okay.
I think maybe we should try.
Every honeybee fills with jealousy when they see you out with me. I don't blame them, goodness knows. Honeysuckle rose. Goodness knows, honeysuckle rose. Don't buy sugar. You just have to touch my cup. You're my sugar. It's sweet when you stir it up, stir it up, stir it up, stir it up. When the bacon sips from your tasty lips, seems the honey fairly drips. Your confection, goodness knows, honeysuckle rose of Washington Square, a flower so fair, should blossom where the sun shines. Rose,
just a second-hand rose,
for nature,
the rose of truly,
that you should blossom. Some fair girl, when the bacon sips from your crispy lips, seems the honey barely drips. Your confection, goodness knows, honeysuckle rose of Washington Square. Everything's coming up, everything's coming up. Roses.
nuts.
Yeah.
It's springtime.
That Pat sure can put it across.
Those are the satisfiers. It's gratifying to hear them. Did you know? You know, nowadays in every bank they've got a camera that runs when somebody robs it.
Yeah,
every bank, even the little country banks. The idea of the picture taken is great, but it doesn't always work out as planned. The FBI agent James Handley is not entirely convinced that this method is completely trustworthy. There was a recent holdup in a bank in the Massachusetts area, and the FBI men developed the automatic camera's film, hoping for some clear pictures of the burglars. And instead, all they saw were pictures of the bank's Christmas party. Good. I don't know why he was complaining. Some of these office parties are good for a little blackmail, huh?
Right. Yeah, sure.
I have for you Delta faucets. Delta faucets. They make your kitchen or your bathroom look better because they're nice to look at. They're easy to operate because you have only one handle. And you do three things with one movement. Let me see you do that, baby. Turn it on or turn it off with one movement. Hot or cold. And select the volume, all with the one faucet. Delta faucets hold up for years of trouble-free service because they only have one moving part inside. So get Delta faucets from your plumber or your architect or your plumbing contractor. A Delta faucet is very easy to operate. You just grab hold of the single handle and move it, and you have done three things with that. You turned it on or off, hot or cold, and selected the volume you want. Got it? You've seen these things, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
It's so much better than trying to mix the temperature in the bowl. So much better than, I think. You, the housewife, are the one who has to depend on faucets the most. For everything from rinsing nylons to washing out the doggy dish. You should be sure that your faucets are going to work well, and it isn't likely that a Delta faucet will break down in the middle of a dirty dish. They're built with only one moving part, I tell you. You'll get years of trouble-free service out of your Delta faucets. You get them from your favorite plumber, architect, or local plumbing contractor. How did that used to go? My uncle was a plumber, and oy, how he could plumb. He plumbed all day and he plumbed all night, and believe me, that's plumbing some.
That's like that, the song that the vagabonds used to do, you know, about selling salt.
Oh, yeah. And boy, could he sell salt. Three times a year, a salesman comes here. Oh, God rest his soul. That was Pete Peterson, remember? He used to do that. He was the bass player. I used to be a plumber's helper. Yeah, I learned how to wipe a joint. I sure did. And that's tough. They don't do it anymore. You get them all made. It's a lost art, I'm told, to wipe a hot joint, not burn your fingers. I think we need another piece of music in here. What shall we do? Spring? Something about spring. Can we do something about spring? Hey, I haven't done this in a long time. Let's do this. This is a marvelous thing written by Sammy Fain and E.Y. Harburg in a play or a movie. It's a movie called Flahuli.
No, it was a play.
Was it a play?
Yeah.
Flahuli. The springtime cometh. It says gracefully and slowly. Think you can do that? Oh, that touches me. That brings out the tiny Tim in me. Go back to the first two bars. The springtime cometh, hummingbird hummeth, little brook rusheth, merry maiden blusheth, iceman goeth. For thy beauty bloweth spring to me. The bright world shineth, tender arms twineth, starry eye gloweth, for they knoweth that without thee spring could never be. daffodil, he can't stand still. Cap he flingeth, swing he swingeth, song he singeth, ding dong day, which is to say the springtime cometh. Hummingbird hummeth, sugar plum plummeth, heart is humpty dummeth, and to summeth up the springtime cometh for the love of thee. Lad and lass in tall green grass softly speaketh, dreams they seeketh, cheek to cheeketh, ding dong day, which is to say the springtime cometh. Hummingbird hummeth, little brook rusheth, merry maiden blusheth, iceman goeth, for thy beauty bloweth spring to me. Lad and lass in tall green grass gaily skippeth, nylon rippeth, zipper zippeth, ding dong day, which is to say the springtime cometh. Hummingbird hummeth, geraniumeth, chrysanthemumeth, bubblegum gummeth, and the springtime cometh for the love. Oh. With me.
You're some dancer, huh?
That is such a fun, that number, huh? So this guy in the asylum is suffering from a compulsion to take off his clothes, and the doctor offers him a reward of 10 cents for each day he refrained from doing so. The man kept his clothes on from Monday through Saturday, but Sunday he tore them off again. And the doctor chided him for his relapse, and he says, "Well, you didn't think I was going to work on Sunday, did you?"